Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. We are eager to offer amazingly competitive prices, plus an additional $1,000 Costco discount on all new Cherry Hill Volvos. When leasing or purchasing a new or certified Cherry Hill Volvo, you become a valued part of our team. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo. Our team thanks you for downloading the Rich Zeoli podcast. Relationships matter to all of us. At Cherry Hill Volvo, we will work to gain your trust, your confidence, and in turn, develop a relationship with you, the Rich Zeoli listener.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Zeoli podcast.
Tonight's debate night in America, and all eyes are on Bloomberg to see if he cannot stink. The president holding a very long news conference in India. I'll give you the highlights. And yes, the question of whether or not a groundbreaking Supreme Court case regarding Philadelphia will be heard in September. The answer is yes. The court's going to hear it in October, I should say. Welcome back to the show. Glad you are here. The Zeoli Show on Twitter at Rich Zeoli and Facebook.com/Zeoli Show. An unprecedented morning drive thing that we do here, an hour of nonstop talk, and grateful to be that you are with us. We are monitoring the president's press conference, of course, and if there's anything that you need to know, we will bring it to you live. Tonight is the big debate. A little bit later in the show, we're going to check in with Hogan Gidley. He's the deputy press secretary for the White House. We'll check in with him. I'm telling you right now, the way things stand right now, with regards to Bernie Sanders, it is terrifying for Democrats that this guy could become the nominee. Terrifying. They're freaking out over this. And they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do to stop him. And they're going to stop him. They're going to find a way to stop Bernie Sanders. Because they have to. They realize they have to. And the reason why I'm going to share this with you from this is Jersey now. I'm going to use Jersey as the example on this. All right. There are four districts in New Jersey that Donald Trump won in 2016. Okay. In 2018, Democrats won those seats. One of them is right here in the district, very, very close to where I'm broadcasting from, my congressional district, the third district. It was the old Tom MacArthur seat. Now it's Andy Kim's seat. You understand how Jeff Van Drew became a Republican. So Van Drew's seat, Republican seat, he was a Democrat. So obviously now you don't have to worry about that. So now there's three. One of them being the third district, where I live, my district in South Jersey. The other two being the 9th and the 11th. Districts, and then one more too, which is also a district that we'll talk about another time. But these districts in particular are districts that the president won, did very, very well with, and the Democrats picked him up in 2018. Now the Democrats running for re-election in those districts have endorsed Mike Bloomberg. Why? Why? Because they know that Bernie Sanders would be a disaster for them. They know this. And they're trying to present themselves as moderate Democrats. They also want Bloomberg's money because they got a run in the New York media market. These two districts in particular, and then another one, there are three. These districts have to run in the very, very expensive New York media market, and they want Bloomberg's money. All right, so all these Jersey Democrats surrounding Mike Bloomberg, and they have this big announcement all coming out to go and back him for president of the United States. They know that, and originally, by the way, some of them were behind Vice President Joe Biden, former Vice President Joe Biden. Some of them were, but they realize now that Biden's candidacy is cooked. So now they're all jumping on board the Bloomberg train. So Bloomberg has to not stink tonight. That's got to be his first and foremost goal, is to not bomb, not stink. Can he do that? Is that possible for him? First of all, you should understand the reason why Bernie Sanders is such a disaster. Last night, he does his town hall meeting with the lesser Cuomo, and he winds up praising China. He winds up praising Castro. This is the kind of socialist nonsense Bernie's going to spew as the candidate. Let's start with cut number 10.
Said on 60 Minutes this weekend, It is unfair to simply say everything is bad with the way Fidel Castro ruled in Cuba. Now, Democratic members of Congress who represent Cuban Americans in Florida, obviously you got to win there. They're attacking your comment as absolutely unacceptable, singing the praises of a murderous tyrant. Response.
The response was when Fidel Castro first came to power, which was when? 59? Does that sound right?
59, 60.
Okay. You know what he did? He initiated a major literacy program. There was a lot of folks in Cuba at that point who were illiterate. And he formed the Literacy Brigade. You may read that. He went out and they helped people learn to read and write. You know what? I think teaching people to read and write is a good thing. I have been extremely consistent and critical of all authoritarian regimes all over the world, including Cuba, including Nicaragua, including Saudi Arabia, including China, including Russia. I happen to believe in democracy, not authoritarianism. But, you know, you can't say China is another example. All right. China is an authoritarian country, becoming more and more authoritarian. But can anyone deny? I mean, the facts are clear that they have taken more people out of extreme poverty than any country in history. Do I get criticized because I say that?
Let's stop right there. Now, just think about the ads running against Bernie Sanders as president when he's defending Fidel Castro and defending China for lifting people out of poverty. And then contrast that with the absolute human rights abuses of these countries, right? Just think of that as a campaign ad, and think about that ad playing in on the New York media market, and then think about voters, even in a district, say in Hudson County, New Jersey, right, where you've got a lot of Cuban Americans who live. Now, not only are those people going to hear Bernie defending Fidel Castro and vote against him. And vote again. They're going to vote down against every Democrat on that ticket if Bernie's praising Fidel Castro. And Democrat Party bosses know that, by the way. They get that. That doesn't mean that if Bernie's a nominee, he's going to lose New Jersey, although, I mean, anything's possible. But I tell you what, the guy running for Congress in that district is going to lose. He's going to lose because there are a lot of Cubans in Jersey. There's a lot of people. There are a lot of Chinese immigrants in Jersey. Think about Florida, where you got a lot of Cuban immigrants down there. People that fled Castro, and now they got to listen to Bernie praise his literacy program? It's like, you know, he's a bad guy, but his libraries were amazing. I mean, he's a brutal dictator, but you, no late fines on the book. Well, yeah, they'd kill you if your books were late, but you could read them. Nobody thinks that would be good for a campaign. And that's what they're worried about right now. You know, they're worried about this guy sitting up there and going, yeah, Castro was a bad guy, but you could read. China was bad. I mean, but, you know, the poverty rate was low. Yeah, it was low because a lot of people were killed and they were tortured and imprisoned. And the absolute horrific human rights abuses that are going on in China against Muslims. You know, that's the kind of stuff that makes Bernie such a terrible candidate beyond what he wants to do in this country. But I see those ads playing in my mind in those congressional districts. And I think about Democrats who have to run in districts that are competitive districts and they're in the New York media market. And people watch that stuff and they see that and they think to my God, Democrats, it's going to be a bloodbath for them. You know, I read this great piece from this guy in USA Today wrote this opinion piece. His name is Giancarlo Sopo. He's a Florida-based communications consultant. He said, my family escaped socialism. Now my fellow Democrats think we should move the party in its direction. So he's a Democrat. He says, Cuba's socialist revolution was supposed to work for workers, like my grandparents who lived in Miami during Batista's dictatorship. In January 1959, just 2 weeks after Fidel Castro seized power, they returned to the island to care for my grandmother's ailing mother. For the next 20 years, they remained prisoners in their own country. As Cuba's political and economic situation worsened, my grandfather told a friend he wanted to return to the United States. Someone overheard the conversation and reported him to the authorities. For this, the Castro regime threw him in jail. He was later stripped of his job and salary as an accountant and assigned to feed zoo animals. In addition to the emotional distress it caused, this made my family's financial circumstances even more precocious. To understand my grandparents' desperation to flee socialism, imagine leaving everything behind and starting anew at almost 60 years old. He continues, I was born in Miami a little after my family was able to return to America, when President Jimmy Carter allowed travel restrictions to lapse. Growing up, a framed photo of my parents of President Ronald Reagan was a mainstay in the living room of our modest duplex. Yet, During the first election, I was able to vote. I served as a precinct captain for Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry. 4 years later, I knocked on doors in New Hampshire for then-Senator Barack Obama. In 2016, my wife and I drove 14 hours to volunteer for Hillary Clinton, and this June, we marched in support of immigrant families. Despite my working-class immigrant roots, I am concerned by the popularity of socialism within my party. On the night of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's victory in New York, I thought her use of the term was a misnomer. Then I began studying the views of the Democratic Socialists of America, the rapidly growing national organization she belongs to, and was disturbed by what I learned. Like those of yesteryear, today's socialists believe the government should nationalize major industries, propose eliminating private ownership of companies, and reject profits. In other words, democratic socialism is a lot like the system my family fled, except its proponents promise to be nicer when seizing your business. This piece by Giancarlo Sopo, a Democrat, by the way. This is a Democrat writing this. My family escaped socialism. Now my fellow Democrats think we should move the party in its direction. When I confronted some progressive friends about this, they initially dismissed my concerns. After sharing some articles with them, the conversation shifted to, quote, they just want us to be more like the Nordic countries, and they're not like real socialists. Both are reductionist self-delusions to avoid confronting difficult truths. The latter is particularly absurd fallacy because it requires one to believe that adults who willfully join socialist organizations sound like socialists, call themselves socialists, but they're not what they claim to be. Claims of Nordic socialism are also largely exaggerated. As Jostein Skar of Oslo Economics told me, quote, I would stress that the Norwegian economic system is capitalistic, heavily influenced by the U.S. and the U.K. This is probably why the Democrat Socialists of America argue that the Nordic model is not good enough. Because you hear that, by the way, breaking from his speech. You hear Bernie Sanders say all that. Yeah, I'm a kind of I'm like a Swiss socialist. I'm a Nordic socialist. No. The Democrat Socialists of America don't believe those countries are actually socialist enough. They might have socialist programs, but they're way too capitalistic for them. This Democrat writing this piece continues. The ideological counterparts of America's democratic socialists are likelier to be found to our south than in northern Europe. For instance, Cuba, where the state controls 3/4 of the economy, limits private sector activity, and employs the majority of workers. That is clearly more representative of the democratic socialists of America's economic vision than Denmark, where 89% of the wealth is privately owned and 7 out of 10 Danes work in the private sector. Moreover, as an investigation by Transparency International revealed, the Venezuelan government owns at least 511 companies, resulting in a state-owned enterprises per capita ratio that is more than 3 times greater than all of Scandinavia's industry combined. As someone who spent years defending Democrats from socialist charges, I understand why people roll their eyes when Cuba and Venezuela are mentioned alongside democratic socialism. But to reject the comparison simply because we don't like those countries misses the point of why they turned out the way they did. I am under no illusion that increased access to healthcare and education will turn us into the Venezuelan capital, Caracas, but it's foolish to believe that democratic socialists who promise to end capitalism would be satisfied with Medicare for all if given the reins for power. This must never happen. The descendants of Karl Marx and Frederick Engels should have no place in the party of Harry Truman and John F. Kennedy. Given its horrific record of human suffering, it would be a moral disgrace for Democrats to embrace socialism just to win elections. Those who use the blithe ignorance of many for the political gain of a few deserve to lose. Indeed, if socialism represents the future of the Democratic Party, that is a dystopia no American should want to be a part of. Giancarlo Sopo writing that, a Democrat from Florida, obviously a liberal, a very, very liberal person. He's pro Medicare for all, and he's pro education for all. And he's saying that Democrats have moved too far to the left embracing socialism. Bernie Sanders is a disaster. He is a disaster for the Democrats, a disaster. And you can't have a guy who sits there and defends Fidel Castro because people could read in Cuba. That is insane. And if I were a Democrat running for Congress in a district that Donald Trump won and that guy was on the ballot with me, I would spend every single day having to denounce my candidate for president of the United States. Oh, if you think they're not going to work to stop Bernie Sanders, you're crazy. And if you think that they shouldn't work to stop Bernie Sanders, you're even crazier. Because it's going to be a disaster for Democrats. You imagine those ads running in Florida and in places like Jersey and other places? And then in Pennsylvania, when the ads run of Bernie Sanders saying he wants to take over the coal industry. He wants the government to take over the energy sectors, literally to privatize for the government now to step in and federalize the energy companies. Oh, yeah, that'll play well in Pennsylvania. That'll play really, really well in Pennsylvania. 855-839-1210.
855-839-1210. The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Let's do our movie mystery clip of the day, because I made this, I think, in the 8 o'clock hour yesterday. So we'll try to do it now in the 7 o'clock hour. So we got a great prize to give away.
The Morning Mystery Clip on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Today we're going to play a new fun game. It's called Police School. I'm going to be a sheriff. You're going to be my deputy trainees. Oh, come on. Stop whining. Your kids are soft. You lack discipline. Well, I've got news for you. You are mine now.
Think you know what it is? Be call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
4-packet tickets to the Atlantic City Boat Show. The Boat Show starting this Wednesday, February 26th through Sunday, March 1st. At the Atlantic City Convention Center. For more info and tickets, visit acboatshow.com. By the way, appearing on Sunday's MSNBC's AM Joy, a very joyless show, Voto Latino CEO Maria Teresa Kumar said Democrats can kiss this state goodbye if Bernie Sanders is the nominee.
All I can think of when David was unpacking it for us, I think, and we could all agree, is that you can kiss Florida goodbye. And I say that because Floridians, Latinos that have fled socialism, they have fled and they are in Florida, and they have these types of sensibilities that are very different from the rest of the Latino community. You pair that down with a lot of more conservative folks that are Democrats in Florida, and I don't see a pathway for him there. And that's just the beginning, right? I can tell you that right now Donald Trump has been targeting folks on my staff since March of last year along an anti-democratic socialist message in Spanglish, English and Spanish. So they are not leaving anybody behind. And so, again, people don't realize that there is a socialization happening on the Trump campaign that's been very effective. And then you understand the population of someone like a Floridian voter, and you know that buying Florida, he's going to have to figure out, like, if I don't have Florida, and I will tell you that I'm almost 125,000% confident that he would not get it, where is his pathway? That's just the sensibility of the voter.
Yeah, 100%. She's absolutely right. Bernie Sanders, you can kiss Florida goodbye. And they'll play an ad over and over again of him defending Fidel Castro. Over and over again. And that ad will play in Florida, and you can say goodbye. Goodbye, Florida. Trump wins Florida. And then now it's only a matter of winning a couple more states. You realize that the pathway to the presidency, we're talking about 4, 5, 6 states. That's it that we're talking about here. But the bigger risk for Democrats is not losing the White House, because they know they'd lose with Bernie on the ballot. It's those congressional districts I mentioned earlier. That's why these Democrats running for re-election in these districts that Trump won are jumping so fast to join Michael Bloomberg and are praying that Bloomberg can get the nomination. Praying, because they know otherwise they're toast. This is a little montage. The media loved Fidel Castro as much as Bernie loves Fidel Castro. Maybe more, very possibly more. It's why the Monday Network morning show spent only a combined 74 seconds discussing socialist Senator Bernie Sanders singing the praises of Cuban dictator Fidel Castro, because journalists on NBC, ABC, and CBS knew full well that they had provided even more effusive commentary on the communist autocrat.
A declared socialist, he dramatically improved health care and literacy.
I think he will be revered as someone who brought education and social services and medical care to all of his people.
Well, Fidel Castro was considered, even to this day, the George Washington of his country.
There is no doubt that he is considered here a revolutionary hero, not only in Cuba, but in many places around the world, and also for his defiance of the United States.
Well, there you go. That's them praising Castro when he died. So I should mention to you as well, he was also, the ladies loved him. They loved him. Because you know what? If they didn't love him, they'd go to prison. That's why. So it's an easy way to get chicks. Oh, man. And you can read. You can read. You go to, you know, that's the nice thing about being in a Cuban prison. If you're a dissenter, you could read all the things that you can't experience as a free person. You know what I mean? Kind of rubs it in.
Well, first of all, Cubans hate him. If you know,
hate him.
I mean, Castro called the people who left. They called them worms, trash. I mean, so anybody who left, that's what you've been called. Forget deplorables. You know what I mean?
Now, you were down there.
Yes.
You were a reporter in Florida.
Yes. So the Cuban, there's such Cuban American pride, but you think of like Ted Cruz, you think of, I almost said Little Marco, but you know, I'm sorry. See these darn nicknames.
The nicknames stick, right?
But you know, the truth is that the people just hate Castro and what he did and what he did to their relatives who then they were sending money to. And so the thought of anybody praising Castro is just unthinkable.
But you could read, and he makes a hell of a Cuban sandwich and the coffee on the Castro. I mean, it's so insane to me that praises the literacy program.
And in China, didn't they just shoot some guy who went outdoors because he had just suspected coronavirus?
Yeah.
So, boom, just shoot him dead. I mean,
well, that's
Square.
How you solve poverty, Dawn. Don't you understand? That's how you reduce the poverty numbers right there by doing that.
That's rough.
A little montage of the media panicking as Sanders is cruising toward the 2020 nomination. This is actually funny. It's from Grabian. This is funny to me because they're starting to realize now what an epic disaster Bernie would be. And as the DNC and the media work together to try to stop Bernie Sanders, cut five.
I thought it was a great night for Bernie Sanders. I thought it was a great night for Donald Trump. I thought it was a terrible night for the Democrats.
The truth is Bernie Sanders is on a trajectory to be the Democratic nominee.
To me, I just don't see him having any shot in a general election. I'm panicked. I am absolutely panicked.
No, no one but Bernie, Stephanie. Come on. He's an anarchist. He would love to burn down the United States.
If we nominate a socialist like Bernie Sanders, we're going to lose. It'll be like George McGovern. It'll be a blowout.
Nobody just says the obvious. Bernie, you're full of it. They're just pandering to the Bernie people. And you know what? Pandering gets you nothing. It certainly doesn't get your respect.
Tom Perez needs to step down. He's a joke. He's a clown. He can't run the Democratic Party anymore. It's lost its way.
I don't see how Democrats do anything but bleed out when they put a socialist at the top of the ticket.
It is a death sentence for the party, and it will lead to Donald Trump's reelection.
The loser, as Leslie put it, are the Democrats.
They've got to get out there and say, I disagree with socialism. I believe in the markets. Right. I think he's wrong. I think he'll never get it done. And in this country, we'll never go that direction. And by the way, we'll lose 49 states.
Corbyn didn't work in England. Bernie ain't going to work in the United States. Anyone but Bernie.
Yeah. You see, the panic is real, kids. The panic is real. I tell you that because I've been in politics a long time, and I see it. I see it firsthand what's happening here, and it's ugly. It's really, really ugly how badly Democrats are going to lose with this guy as their nominee. Kane is in Bryn Athyn. Am I saying, is it Kane or Kane?
Keen.
Yes. Okay. Keen. Yep. Sorry about that. How are you today?
No problem. Doing well, thanks. How are you doing?
Doing well. What's the movie?
Kindergarten Cop.
Now, how did you know that? Because that's a pretty obscure reference right there.
Because I listened yesterday, so you always give it away.
Boom. That's it, brother. That's how we do it. So you're going to the boat show. You're going to buy a yacht?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah? You 1% or you? Well, listen, man, have fun. Enjoy it.
Depends on what size. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have fun, and thanks for listening to the show. We appreciate it, Kane. Keen, very, very much. 855-839-1210. Al is in South Jersey. Al, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Just wanted to follow up on the point that what a real journalist would have asked Bernie after he praised the literacy program in Cuba. A real journalist might have said something like, well, you disagree with Donald Trump, but is there anything that you could praise about his first 3 years that you'd be in favor of, the way you're in favor of certain things that the Cuban and communist dictators in China have done?
excellent point, right? They just kind of let it slide, right?
Right. I mean, he's basically said that Donald Trump is the most dangerous president of our lifetime, and he goes on to talk about Cuba's literacy program. Is there anything, sir, that you could compliment Donald Trump on and see what he'd say? Yeah. I thought a real journalist would have asked.
Exactly right. Exactly why real journalists are just so few and far between, Al. Thanks for the call, bud. Appreciate it very much. 855-839-1210. Apparently, there was a little dust-up. See if we can find this, guys. A little dust-up between the president and Jim Acosta during this press conference that just concluded on CNN. Thanks to the Zioli Army for alerting that to my attention. Our buddy Tom, who said, Tom Hoskins on Twitter, Acosta and President Trump just had a big dust-up in India. In case you did not cover it, we'll grab that audio. This social media check-in brought to you by our great friends at Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. They do matter. You help me with the show, and I appreciate that. And that's why it's a great friendship. And Cherry Hill Volvo is where you should go to get your car, because I'll tell you something, driving a beautiful luxury car like a Volvo, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. As the panic sets in about Bernie Sanders becoming the nominee for president of the United States, and it's a real, real panic, the question then, of course, is whether or not they can actually stop this guy, whether or not they can stop him. And then they're really worried about the Bernie bros, too. You know, they're really worried about the Bernie bros and whether or not the Bernie bros will wind up getting behind anybody. I mean, anybody besides Bernie Sanders. Then, of course, there's this hot take from CNN's Allison Camerota, who's just concerned that maybe Bernie Sanders, a little too, you know, just a little too this to take on Donald Trump.
The one difference between Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump that I can tell so far is that Sanders does deal in more nuance.
Oh, sure.
You know, democratic socialism, he makes the distinction between socialism. President Trump very effectively deals in slogans and deals in you know, kind of one word, gut level slogans. And so I don't know that the Sanders, do we have an appetite for nuance right now in this country?
Well,
nuance? What the hell's nuance about a guy that goes out there and says the kind of things that Bernie Sanders says? There's no nuance about it. He's out there promoting socialism. Nuance? The hell is she talking about? Here's a little bit of that town hall with Bernie Sanders when he says who his VP will not be. I kind of like this now. This is who his VP will not be. Cut 11.
A supporter of yours, Vicky.
Good evening, Senator Sanders. Given your recent health scare, do you plan on announcing your choice of running mate soon? As this may alleviate some of the fears about your ability to hold office and also to announce any of those duties that those may fall to.
All right. As you know, I had a heart attack. Bottom line is I'm feeling fine.
But
following me around the campaign
on the My Health Care plan, they probably take me out. So I got to make sure I have a good VP.
Three rallies yesterday, you know, and so I'm feeling very, very good. But your question is about a vice presidential part of the ticket. And yes, the answer is we will do that, but it's a little bit presumptuous right now. I will tell you one thing, though, that person will not be an old white guy. That I can say definitively. Right?
Okay, and so it won't be an old white guy. I'd like to get a little context here. Who is the questioner asking him a question?
So it was a very attractive female named Vicky.
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 Vicky, that's why he's very, very calm and debonair as he's answering this question.
I mean, just like he loves the question, very slowly talks about the, you know, his answer. I mean, it's the stark difference between when a male asks him a question, Chris Cuomo or somebody like that, and then Vicky.
It's very different.
Yes. What did he say to Chris? Whoa, 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 whoa,
whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa. Listen, hey, yeah. Baby, you know I had a heart attack.
Well, I mean,
and you're giving me another heart attack. You're giving me another heart attack. I'm feeling good now, but.
Well, I mean, you know.
But there won't be another old white guy, only me. Only one old white guy on the ticket.
I would like to hear, like, inside Bernie's head, maybe at some point before the show ends, like, what he was thinking while this woman was asking the question.
That's a very good idea. We should do that as a little thought experiment.
Just you know, what is happening inside his head as this woman is very seductively asking him this question.
And he starts out with, you know, I had a heart attack. That's the first thing he says. You know, I had a heart attack. That's amazing.
Oh, good God.
You know,
I
got a new ticker. I mean, that's what he's basically trying to say. He's got a new ticker now, so he's able to. Like, he didn't get a transplant, right?
No.
But he's acting like it. He's like, well, you know, I had a heart attack, and now I got the new. I'm like Iron Man. I'm all remade now from head to toe.
He has the heart of a 30-year-old now.
That's right. 855-839-1210.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you, Rich Zioli. Weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Okay, so tonight's the big debate in America. And a couple of things have happened since the show started this morning. The president started with a big press conference in India this morning. And he addressed a number of things, including he wants to get us out of Afghanistan eventually. This 19-year law going on too long. I'm sorry, Greg, I didn't get that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to let you know we have the John Roberts clip where he asked him about Sonia Sotomayor's comments.
Oh, great. And this is key, right? So Sonia Sotomayor of the United States Supreme Court made some comments about the president and the court being there basically to do his bidding. John Roberts asked the president the question about that. Take a listen.
You tweeted about Justice Sotomayor yesterday, saying that she and Justice Ginsburg should recuse themselves from future cases dealing with the administration. What is the basis for your opinion on that?
Well, it's very obvious. I mean, I always thought that, frankly, that Justice Ginsburg should do it because she went wild during the campaign when I was running. I don't know who she was for. Perhaps she was for Hillary Clinton, if you can believe it. But she said some things that were obviously very inappropriate. She later sort of apologized. I wouldn't say it was an apology, but she sort of apologized. And then Justice Sotomayor said what she said yesterday. You know very well what she said yesterday. It was a big story. And I just don't know how they can not recuse themselves for anything having to do with Trump or Trump-related. The right thing to do is that. Now, as a Supreme Court justice, is a different standard. But at the same time, I think it's a higher standard in a certain sense. So they'll have to decide what to do. But her statement was so inappropriate. When you're a justice of the Supreme Court, and it's almost what she's trying to do is take the people that do feel a different way and get them to vote the way that she would like them to vote. I just thought it was so inappropriate, such a terrible statement for a Supreme Court justice.
What was inappropriate about the statement? I'm not an attorney, so I can't really look into
what
these.
The statement was, John.
She seemed to criticize the White House for running to the Supreme Court at the drop of a hat to seek a
stay. No, I don't think that was it. But I think what she did say is she's trying to shame, the way I look at it, she's trying to shame people with perhaps a different view into voting her way. And that's so inappropriate. So let's see what happens. We have things, whether or not they recuse themselves both. I mean, look, Justice Ginsburg, during my campaign, you know, I protested at the time. She apologized in a very minor form. And what Justice Sotomayor said yesterday was really highly inappropriate, and everybody agrees to that. Virtually everybody. I've seen papers on it. People cannot believe that she said it.
You know what's interesting about Sonia Sotomayor? So she's criticizing her colleagues, conservative justices on the court, for doing Trump's bidding, right? And usually the justices respect each other enough to not accuse the other judges of being pawns for the administration, right? Usually there's that much respect. And I think the issue with Sotomayor is that she's not suggesting that her colleagues who are equal to her are ruling on, say, the immigration cases, for example, in the way that's fair for the course of justice, but to do the president's bidding. And that's a big insult to the other members of the court. There was a dust up during the press conference in India between the president and CNN's Jim Acosta. Now, first of all, question I have.
Yes.
Was this a video from journalist internment camp that he was asking the question? Did they was he shackled during the questioning? How did this work?
No, he was right in the press gaggle.
In the gaggle.
Yeah, like sitting, you know, like where the press sits to ask questions.
But I thought Jim Acosta was worried that he was going to wind up being sent to Gitmo or something like that, right?
No,
not so much.
No, I guess not.
All right. Well, let's take a listen to the recently paroled from journalist internment camp Jim Acosta.
Wanted to follow up on my colleague's question about Russian interference. Can you pledge to the American people that you will not accept any foreign assistance in the upcoming election? And on this idea of a purge in your administration, there was recently the departure of your acting DNI, Joseph McGuire. You replaced him with your ambassador to Germany, Rick Grenell. Some of your critics have pointed out that Ambassador Grenell has no intelligence experience. How can you justify to the American people having an acting DNI with no intelligence?
Okay, first of all, I want no help from any country, and I haven't been given help from any country. And if you see what CNN, your wonderful network, said, I guess they apologized in a way for, didn't they apologize for the fact that they said certain things that weren't true? Tell me, what was their apology yesterday? What did they say?
Mr. President, I think our record on delivering the truth is a lot better than yours sometimes, you don't mind me saying.
Let me tell you about your record. Your record is so bad, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You have probably
I'm
the
not
worst
ashamed
record.
Of anything, and our
you probably
organization
have the worst
is not
record
ashamed,
in the
sir.
History of broadcasting. As far as...
you know what I'll do? I'll ask Hogan Gidley about that encounter. I want to welcome back to the show. Hogan's been on the show before, the deputy press secretary to the president. Hogan, welcome back to Philadelphia. How you been?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. Thanks so much for the time this morning. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. It was good to see you at the White House when we were doing the USMCA stuff.
Sure.
And congrats on that getting passed. First of all, you want to comment a little bit on the on Jim Acosta going after the president today?
It's pretty typical. I'm sure they'll play that video and pat each other on the back. I mean, here's a network who consistently gets things wrong, gives contracts to people who are and someone like Andy McCabe, who's an admitted liar, got caught lying to federal investigators. Jim Comey also got caught lying, put him on TV. Someone like Adam Schiff is basically a contributor for their network, even though you know, he's lied about everything from Kavanaugh to impeachment to a whistleblower about evidence from Russia he said he had, he never had, that kind of thing. So, you know, no one's taking a lecture in truth-telling from the likes of CNN. I'm sure there are hundreds of viewers will be really happy about that interaction. But nonetheless, the rest of America and the American people understand and know what this president does on their behalf, and what CNN does is often, you know, disgusting.
Now, Hogan, are you in India with the president right now?
I'm not. No. I did not go on this trip.
Okay, but you've got to be up, I guess, all night. Given the time change, I'm sure you're dealing with stuff throughout the night since it's the daytime over there, right?
Oh, sure, of course. We the only one you know who gets this better than any of the staff is the president, because he's the one who never stops. We at least get a chance to maybe take a nap every now and then. This president just keeps going forward without stopping. And so us having to keep up with him is hard enough, regardless of any time change.
Now, he was asked today during the press conference regarding the intelligence report that came out about Russian interference in the election. And the president said, you know, once again, this is a bunch of nonsense. Tell us about that, because I think a lot of people are confused what exactly took place there.
Well, they're confused because the media is so focused on getting it first as opposed to getting it right. And so often they come out and report things and the information about meetings that just aren't the case. And these are all these shadowy sources they use. And, you know, for all this talk about how, you know, the president is trying to get people in the administration, you know, who work on his behalf instead of working against him, that's true. Every president should have people in their administration that actually work for the interest of the person who is actually elected by the American people.
Right. Yes.
How many times do we have to have this conversation? And these reporters bring quotes into me every day from anonymous sources saying the president should have done this. The president didn't do that. What do you have to say about this? And I'm like, you know, you guys are actually fulfilling the prophecy here.
there are people in the government who are trying to undermine this president. You're bringing me their quotes every day that you're asking me to respond to. So don't pretend like this isn't happening. But as far as the Russia thing is concerned, I just have to say, you know, it was Barack Obama's administration who knew Russia was going to meddle in the election and did nothing about it. It was Donald Trump who got in and was tougher on Russia than anybody. It's not just arming Ukraine with lethal aid, which we did, that infuriated Russia. We opened up energy exploration, which hurt Russia's economy. We literally expelled their diplomats, sent them back to Russia. We closed down diplomatic facilities in this country. So whenever anyone talks about, you know, who's treated Russia better, this president's been tougher on Russia than anybody, and the record proves that time and time again. We know Russia and other countries have designs on meddling in our elections. That's why we, for the first time in history, took a whole-of-government approach, worked with DHS, the FBI, and others at the local and state levels to ensure that all of the elections are going to be clean, free, and clear, that every vote's going to matter, every vote's going to count the way it should. Let's not forget, it was 2016 where this meddling occurred. 2018 happened, the midterm elections, and what happened? It was flawless because we were handling things at that point. The same thing goes for 2020. We're prepared regardless of what any country tries to do because this president understands his obligation is to protect the integrity of the American election system, and he's done that despite the fact other administrations, the previous one, did not.
Hogan Gilley joins me, Deputy Assistant to the President and Principal Deputy Press Secretary. It's good to have him back on the show today. The president's trip to India, what's the goal here, and what can you tell us regarding trade? I also noticed the president today addressed the coronavirus, too, saying the United States is doing everything we can on that.
Sure. Well, a couple things on the trip itself. The invitation was extended by Prime Minister Modi. I've been in several bilateral meetings with the president and the prime minister. And the prime minister wanted President Trump to come there and see what India was doing and how he was trying to work to change things and build up its infrastructure. And that's what the Prime Minister Modi has done. I mean, he's opened up gas lines, for example, to 70 million citizens of India. And with that expansion and with that infrastructure build, you need energy. And this country, the United States, has treated India as the partner and ally that it is under this administration. And so we want to work with India on energy exploration and also providing them with the necessary help they need to expand their energy markets. I mean, I think our energy exports have gone up to India about 500% under the Donald Trump administration, about $7 billion. But we're looking to expand that even more. As India continues to build and grow, we want to be there to help. But also there's also an important national security implication for the region, too. So we work with India to try and stop terrorists and terrorism throughout the region. We want a free and open Indo-Pacific, and that's what this is all about. So most of these trips, the president has great relationships with all of the leaders, of course, across the globe. He's been able to build those, so we're now feared and respected and loved like we've never been before. And Prime Minister Modi is a great example of that. So we're building those relationships, expanding trade agreements, and it looks like India agreed to buy more military equipment from us as well on the trip. So another successful trip overseas for this president as he continues to help other countries. And look, while he does believe in and pushes America first, as any elected leader should, it's not America alone. And we want to succeed, but we're not going to root for the destruction of other countries in the process that work with us. We want them to succeed too. They just can't take advantage of the American worker. And so the president's putting in deals, whether it be India or Japan or China, in which the American worker, the American business, or American industries are looked out for as well.
Hey, Hogan, let me ask you about the Democrat debate tonight. Were you as surprised as I was at just how badly Michael Bloomberg bombed last week in the debate?
Well, obviously I can't talk too much about elections because of the Hatch Act. I'll tie it into India. How about this?
Fair enough.
So the president has stadiums across this country that are filled, packed, these arenas that are jam-packed with folks, tens of thousands inside, tens of thousands outside who can't get in.
You know, every time he goes on the road, India is a great example. He goes overseas and is able to pull 120,000 people into one arena. The Democrats can't get 120 people total at a convention center in South Carolina. So it's very clear that the people, not just globally, but also here in this country, love what this president's done for them. And so when you get to see the Democrats up on stage, the reality of the choice, you know, just hits you in the face like a frying pan, because you understand, look at all the successes this president has done for people across this country, for every socioeconomic group. Democrats don't have anything to offer whatsoever. And so I just can't help but think every time they get up to debate, the clear winner is Donald Trump.
Hogan Gilley, always great to talk to you again. Deputy Assistant to the President and Principal Deputy Press Secretary. Thanks for making the time today on an incredibly busy day after the President's big press conference this morning in India. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Y'all have a great day.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Okay, so as we look towards the Democrat debate tonight, I'm telling you right now that with some of the stupidity being said out there, first of all, let's go back to Bernie Sanders for a quick second here. When he pulled out the receipt, the lesser Cuomo asked him this. We played this earlier, but I love this. I can't love this anymore. This is Bernie now, cut 10B from the town hall.
Your plan for free college tuition and Medicare for all seems like a way to excite the Democratic base with no real plan to pay for it. Now, how is your position in your campaign different than what Donald Trump did?
Bull, I think.
Bull. All right. Now, this is a great example of how Bernie handles men versus women, right? This dude's asking him this question, and Bernie's initial response is, whoa, right? This is a good observation here.
Bull, I think. You know, given the fact that I've spent my entire adult life fighting against everything that Trump stands for, trust me, we're a little bit different.
Oh, you hear the nastiness?
Yes.
You hear that, Dawn? That double jab? Like, listen. You're right. He hates. Oh, man. Now, let's contrast that with the socialist hottie in the crowd during the CNN town hall asking Bernie about his vice president.
On 60 Minutes this weekend.
The Cut 11.
A supporter of yours, Vicky.
Good evening, Senator Sanders.
Hey, Vicky.
Given your recent health scare.
By the way, did you hear that? How smooth was that? Hey, how you doing, Vicky? He's getting old Joey from Friends on her. How you doing?
Good evening, Senator Sanders. Given your recent health scare, do you plan on announcing...
First of all, he should be nasty to her considering the question, right?
Yes.
She's bringing up a health scare, the fact that he's going to die soon.
He's not even listening. No. Look at him. He's having, like, we don't even want to know what's in that thought bubble right there, okay?
That's a great observation. He's not listening because he should be nasty to her, right?
Totally.
She's literally, the question is this. You just had a health scare. You're going to die soon. We all know it. Yeah. We'll be shocked if you make the first term. Hell, we'll be shocked if you make it to the inauguration.
If she were a horse-faced broad or whatever, you know.
If she were an older woman or a dude, he would be giving it to her. You know what I mean?
Well,
but right. In a different way.
Good evening, Senator Sanders. Given your recent health scare, do you plan on announcing your choice of running mate soon? As this may alleviate some of the fears about your ability to hold office and also announce any
of
his duties.
No, that's what he's asking. He's asking Cuomo. You can hear that. Yeah. He turned to Cuomo. He's like, can I get a number? Can you arrange a green room visit after this show?
There is some weird talking going on between the two of them.
I'm telling you, it's like, you know, Chris, I got my trailer in the back. No. Can we get a conjugal visit?
It's some of the fears about your ability to hold office and also announce any of those duties that those may fall to.
All right. As you know, I had a heart attack. And bottom line is, I'm feeling fine.
I'm better than ever. Look at me.
Follow me around the campaign trail. I think we
follow me around the campaign trail. Is anyone else not hearing this guy completely? Follow me around the campaign trail. No, I mean, really, like after the show tonight.
Like he's a member of Led Zeppelin in the 70s.
We're going to give you an all-access credential. You follow me anywhere. So he blasts the dude. And then with her, who's like, you're going to die soon, Senator. He's like, well, listen, why don't you follow me around? I'll show you just what a man I am.
Follow me around the campaign trail. I think we did three rallies yesterday. You know, and so I'm feeling very, very good. But your question is about a vice presidential part of the ticket. And yes, the answer is we will do that. But it's a little bit presumptuous right now. I will tell you one thing, though, you know, is that person will not be an old white guy. That I can say definitively. Right?
Could be a,
and I do want to say this in all seriousness, that our cabinet and our administration will very intentionally look like America. So when you turn on...
Except it'll be a bunch of commies. But otherwise,
I think it's important that all of our people see themselves reflected in the administration of the President of the United States, and we will absolutely do that.
This guy is such a freaking hidden pervert, because it's like the guy asked the question, it's blah, 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 blah. Oh, man. One more time with the dude so we can get the full contrast, please, with the dude asking.
Your plan for free college tuition and Medicare for all seems like a way to excite the Democratic base with no real plan to pay for it. Now, how is your position and your campaign different than what Donald Trump did?
You know, given the fact that I've spent my entire adult life fighting against everything that Trump stands for, trust me, we're a little bit different.
You see what I mean? The woman's asking him, like, you're about to die, and he's all smooth and debonair. The guy asks him a very legitimate question about paying for something, and he just blasts the guy out of the room.
A supporter of yours, Vicky.
Jay's got a great idea. Jay, go ahead.
Yeah, I think this would be fantastic. I hope someone from the Trump camp is actually listening to it and working into the plans. Let Ivanka Trump, his daughter, she's very pretty, let her do a Sharon Stone Basic Instinct.
Now that's just, you know what, Jay? Come on, man. That is just absolutely inappropriate.
With special lighting.
Right.
Put it right in front. Put it right in front of Bernie.
Just
put it right in front of Bernie. Let her cross and uncross the legs, and I'll tell you that.
Come, Jay. Come on. I got to, Jay. I can't. Denounce. I'm denouncing this. Terrible. Ivanka's a very, very, very sweet mom and a beautiful woman and a special person.
It's also megaphone it's Bernie. Megaphone that
Bernie.
Is the pervert.
Right. Who's the pervert? Be like, Ivanka, how you doing? When are you going to dump that loser Jared and get with a real man? Dawn, good morning.
Yes. Hello.
8:25.
I just realized
that's
the time.
Right. Oh, look at the time.
We'll get the news as soon as
we can. Anytime we feel like it on this show.
So we have 46 degrees. The Yoli Show News brought to you by Cherry Hill Volvo. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court ordering an investigation. This is big. Into conflict of interest allegations in the Philadelphia DA's office. This is the case involving the killer of police officer Daniel Faulkner. This is Wesley Cook, a.k.a. Mumia Abu Jamal. This all started, as Yoli told you, with a filing by Maureen Faulkner, the widow of Officer Danny Faulkner. So as you know, he was murdered, shot in cold blood in 1982. Maureen fighting for justice since then to keep the killer behind bars. So she files a petition, which the Supreme Court, state Supreme Court, has now granted, and the court halting all legal appeals for Abu Jamal. No comment from Krasner or the DA's office. Obviously, we'll keep on it.
This is huge because, we've highlighted the fact, and they did an excellent job in the court briefing of highlighting the conflicts that exist in Krasner's office. From Krasner's wife, who worked for the firm that defended Mumia, to some of the deputies in the office who also were working to defend Mumia before they got there. So it's rare the Supreme Court, or the state Supreme Court, makes a ruling like this. And this is big, that there'll be a marshal assigned to the case.
So we'll continue to watch Philadelphia.
Because I'm telling you, Krasner's a Mumia truther, 100%, no doubt in my mind.
We will not take our eye off of that case. Very important case. And obviously all of Philadelphia police officers expressing gratitude because it affects everybody. Philadelphia also at the center of adoption and foster care cases. This is big, now going to the Supreme Court, which will hear a dispute over a Philadelphia Catholic agency refusing to place foster kids with gay couples. And
I should mention to you, by the way,
yes,
tomorrow on the show will be the attorney for the Beckett Foundation. They're the ones who are representing the plaintiffs in the case, which is the Catholic Services. They'll be on the show tomorrow to explain the tenets of the case.
OK, that'll be interesting.
Which will be heard by SCOTUS. And I hate the SCOTUS, don't you? I hate that.
Why? What does it remind you of? OK, police in Yaden. This is
As
Delco.
You know, I had SCOTUS recently, but I'm better.
Police in Yaden, Delco,
sorry,
say they've caught and they've charged.
Don's supposed to be the adult.
I know.
In the room.
I'm sorry.
Every time.
But you know. Anyway, let's go to Delco. Delco, Yaden.
Go to Delco.
So this is the police expressing that they're glad they believe they've caught the culprits and who posted those death threats against two schools in Delco, but they were sad when they discovered who this was. So it all started with the threats on Instagram, a mass shooting plan for last Friday, Penwood High School and Penwood Ninth Grade Academy. I reported this here on the Zioli Show. So Yaden Police Chief Anthony Paparo, he says he tracked down the culprits online and actually messaged back and forth with somebody named Penwood Shooter. Now, he thinks he's talking to an adult online. In any event, the investigation continues. Chief Paparo says tips led police to a home. So they go, they knock on the front door. And who opens the front door? A girl. Chief says, hello, guess who I am? He says at that point, this 13-year-old girl basically confesses to this.
Wow.
So he says, he's talking about, I can't believe it was a 13-year-old girl. I thought I was talking to an adult. 11:30 at night, where he says she was threatening to shoot me on their posts. So kind of chilling here. And he says, parents, know what your kids are doing. So the police are talking to the parents, talking to the girls. This is serious. They're facing serious charges here. And the good news, the bright spot of this, nobody was hurt. School went on. They had a massive police presence. We don't know if the parents will be charged at all for the cost to the community because they had to have a massive police presence at both of those schools to make everybody, feel safe. They have to take these threats very seriously. Finally, in Italy, we've talked about coronavirus, very serious, a lot of people very concerned. But in Italy, authorities actually took a different tactic than other places. They set up roadblocks.
Yeah.
Called off soccer matches, which is huge. And they shuttered sites.
Yeah, they don't cancel soccer
Or opera. La Scala Opera House. So the prime minister, everybody's speaking out, we can't have the opera.
Scusi, eh? Tonight, no opera, eh? So I got to watch a fat guy sing somewhere else.
I don't know.
That's the prime minister of Italy. I can't.
Exclusive audio.
I know you're liking the fat guy with the clown face singing, but not tonight, eh? Stay home and eat, make it a whole box of pasta, right?
The whole box.
Nobody does the servings over here, eh?
Servings.
Just not me saying that, Dawn. Not me.
Not us. Exclusive audio from Italy. Hey, the forecast quickly from NBC 10. First alert weather. Rainy both today and tomorrow in the 50s. 50 today, 54 tomorrow. So leap into luxury at Cherry Hill Volvo. Mention the Leap Year Volvo Special right now from 1210 Radio and receive an additional $1,229 in savings. So that's $1,229 in savings above the already amazing offers only at Cherry Hill Volvo. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships really do matter. I'm Dawn, Zioli Show News.
Thank you, Dawn. Hey, Vicky. How you doing? Bernie said, oh,
a supporter of yours, Vicky.
Good evening, Senator Sanders.
Hey, Vicky.
Given your recent health...
I got a number. All right, 855-839-1210 is our number. The Democrat debate tonight will give you the preview. Can Michael Bloomberg not stink is the question. Straight ahead.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.